on Sunday would be talking about Jesus riding into Jerusalem on the foal of a donkey. And that's great. It's a great message. But the Lord sort of, I think, just impressed upon me a couple of questions. And I'd like to talk to you today about the Passion of Jesus. That's the title of the message. But it might be a while before we get to the Passion of Jesus. And so we're going to start our message now just a little different than a normal Palm Sunday message. Have you ever been disappointed with God? You ever been disappointed with God? And are you disappointed with Him right now? I mean, just flat out, I'm just disappointed, Lord. It sure is easy to do. Be disappointed with God. And it usually happens when somebody has hurt us. Or a situation has hurt us. And so therefore, we get disappointed with God. In my experience, I have found that it's a lot easier to be disappointed with God when you don't know a whole lot about Him. You understand what I'm saying? That's not a put down. I'm just saying it's easier to get disappointed with God when you don't know what the Bible says about it. And then you're left to your own feelings about the matter. And you're left to your own suppositions. Well, I just suppose it to be so. And you get disappointed with God. Perhaps when I say this, God loves you. Say that with me. God loves you. Perhaps when we say that, today you say this. Put it up, Raj. How could God love me since He let this happen to me? How could God love me since He let this happen to me? Maybe that's how you're feeling today. How could God love me when He let this happen to me? What is the this today in your life and in your heart? Maybe your this is, how could God love me and let me be abused as a child? How could God love me and let the person I love more than anything in the world walk out on me? How could God love me since He let this happen to me? How could God love me? Allow my child to be killed by a drunk driver. Or maybe the Lunsford family with little Jessica. How could God love me and allow an animal to come in and take my daughter and kill her? How could God love me if that happened? Maybe that's where you're at today. Palm Sunday, everybody's waving the branches, but you ain't waving the branch. Because you got this happening in your life. Maybe it's, how could God love me and allow me to have cancer? Or my loved one have cancer? Or some other deadly disease? How could God love me and allow me to lose my job for no good reason? That's where you're at today. How could God love me and make me live alone with nobody? Nothing. How could God love me and allow people to put me down because of the way I look or the color of my skin or how much money I don't have in my pocket? How could God love me and let this happen to me? How could God love me and allow someone close to me to stick me right square in the back? How could God love me when my own family hates me? Boy, it didn't take me but about a minute to write down those little this's. In my line of work, you see a lot of this's happen. And so today, maybe you're saying that. How could God love me since He let this happen to me? Another statement. We suppose it to be so. Can you say that with me? We suppose it to be so. That's just Southern talk. Here's what I mean by that. Go with it. Because God's all powerful. Right? If
Since God's all powerful, this didn't have to happen, did it? He's all powerful. He could have stopped it from happening. You agree with that, yes or no?
Yes.
Sure. So we suppose it to be so. God let this happen to me. And we suppose it to be so. Continuing. But just because God didn't stop what? This from happening doesn't mean that He what? Made this happen. Just because God didn't stop this from happening doesn't mean that God made this happen. And so we just suppose it to be so and we put it on God. And that's exactly where Satan wants you to put it. He didn't want you to have a relationship with God at all, period. And we're going to see that this morning. Let's look. Keep moving. James 1, 12 through 20, the Bible says, we're going to be in several scriptures today. The Bible says, blessed is the man that endures temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say, when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. Say that part with me. For God cannot be what? Tempted with evil. Say this. Neither tempteth he any what? Man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Say this with me right here. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begot he us. Isn't that a great verse? Of his own will. Of his own will. God sent Jesus. Of his own will. The Holy Spirit drew you to himself. Of his own will. God loved you. Begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be kind of first fruits of his creature. What's this warning? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to what? Hear. Slow to
speak.
And slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Just a few statements about these couple of verses that we're moving. God doesn't tempt you with evil. That's one thing we learn. Number two, God is what?
Good.
God is good. And you still might be saying, well, then why did he let this happen to me? I understand. Man is sinful. That's what the Bible says. Man makes foolish and hurtful decisions, but God gives man a what?
Choice.
A choice. And you know, it was hard for me to write this on my paper, but put it up, Rod. Choice has always been God's way. But yeah, I'm pro-life all the way. Pro-life all the way. There's nothing more innocent than a little baby. In a mother's womb, that can be snuffed out. And if you don't think that's life, you're just whispering Dixie of the wrong truth. That's life, friend. And so I'm pro-life, no doubt. I'm for life, all the way, all day.
Amen.
But choice has always been God's way. God lets you make your choices. Do you know that? He lets you make your choices. But don't you think, when you make your choices,
well, God told me to do it.
So God gave you a brain. And God gave you a spirit. And God gave you the Word of God so you could make good choices. Here's what Joshua said. But people make bad choices. And people hurt other people because they're sinful. And therefore you and I get hurt and we hurt others because of our bad what? Choices. Here's what Joshua has to say, if it seem be an evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you're going to serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But I like old Joshua. Look at this. But as for me and my house, say it now. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're moving. And I know it's a little confusing maybe to you. It was confusing to me. But how could God love me since He let this happen to me? How could God love me since He let this happen to me? Well, we've seen some things already that God isn't the author of evil. Only good comes from God because God is what? He's holy.
But we still don't understand. Let's keep it going. Just a couple old statements. You can find this over in Matthew 10, I believe, verse 30, and I'll walk you that way. God sees a sparrow fall. Do you know that? That's what the Bible says. God sees a sparrow fall. And see, Roger put a robin up, but I told him it didn't matter because we're from the country. They just birds to us, baby. No, Lord, us. Amen. Roger knew it. I'll find a robin. Spare to me. Amen. God sees the sparrow fall. But watch this. But it doesn't mean he shot it down from the sky. The kind of logic that we use, that when bad things happen, it's God's fault. God sees a sparrow fall, but it doesn't mean he's up there going, there's another. Or don't we talk that? That God's in heaven with a big stick wanting to crack us upside the head, right? It's not Bible, friend, but that's the way you feel. And if that's the way you feel, that's who I got to deal with right now. And I got to somehow show you that kind of thinking is not going to bring healing in your life. Another thing, boy, this gets real personal with me. And by the way, that isn't me, all right? Like I said before, there's a strange resemblance, but I've got better teeth than that guy. All right? Look at this. God knows the number of hairs on my head. That's what the Bible says. But watch this. But it doesn't mean he pulled them out. Are you following me? Man, that's the kind of logic I use. God, no, man, she pulled up my hair. There's a guy in the first service today, young kid. Hair or curly as the day is long. Man, it's just curly. And all that, he said, man, I'd love to have your hair. You know, it's funny. When I had hair, it's another message. When I had hair, I was so conservative in the hair, above the ears and off the collar and blah, blah, blah. Let me tell you something, friend. This church is forcing that Clark don't have hair now. Because, buddy, once you've been without your hair, once you get it again, you're going to appreciate it and probably do stuff with it. You know what I'm saying? But those days are over. Here's the point. You get the point, don't you? The point is that God sees. The point is God knows. And that's the next thought here. The emphasis is on sees and knows, not that God makes this stuff happen in your life. The fact of the matter is you're right. God does see it, and God knows it. But you live in a world that's cursed and fallen. People make bad choices. You make them. I make them. And we suffer and we hurt. But the sees and knows. He's with us in our struggles. He's able to work out all things together for our good. My mother's favorite verse. I wish you'd quote it with me. Say it with me. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But stuff happens. And how could God love me since He let this happen in my life? And how could He let this happen? I got three thoughts for you. Here they are. They're real simple. Here it is. Trouble. Trouble. The verse is over in Job. Man is born under trouble as the sparks fly what? Upward. You know, I'm not supposed to have a fire in my backyard, but I do every once in a while. And I know that's terrible, but I do it. Here we go. So in the backyard, I got a little fire. And you know what? The sparks always fly which way? Just the way it is. That's why you struggle, and that's why I struggle, and that's why we have trouble in our life. Because guess what? That's the way it is. That's the way it is. Man is born under trouble. Trouble is going to happen in your life. And this is going to happen since trouble is going to happen. Number two, adversary. This is over in 1 Peter chapter 5. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. God loves you. But look at verse 8. We quote it. We have memorized it. We say it really fast. Look at it. Be sober. Be vigilant. These are very unusual words in the Bible. It's like, wake up! Listen to what I'm saying! Look at it. That's the way the Scriptures are being read. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because you're what? Adversary. The devil. As a what? A little pretty kid? As a what? A roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. Whom is this steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world? Why does this happen in my life? Why did this happen? Trouble is going to come. As long as you... Jesus said, in this world you're surely going to suffer what? You're going to have what? Persecution. It's going to happen. But also, we have an adversary. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. He is a roaring lion. What about that? I mean, he has teeth. Satan hates your guts. He wants to destroy you. He wants to rip your flesh and your spirit. He wants to kill you because you have a relationship with God or because you possibly are going to have a relationship with God. And he wants to just absolutely annihilate you. And that's why this stuff happens in our life. And he loves it when you blame God.
Ah, I got it. That's great.
Listen, the third reason that these things happen, this happens in our life. Sinners. Look at these scriptures. Romans 3:10 and following. As it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understands. There is none that seeks after God. God came after us. We didn't come after him. They've all gone either way. They together become unprofitable. There's none that does good. No, not one. Their throats open sepulchre. Their tongues used to seek. The poison of asp is under their lips. It's talking about us, friend. Keep looking. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way. The way of peace they've not known. There's no fear of God before their eyes. And then finally, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How could God love me? Hang in here with me. How could God love me since he let this happen to me? It happens because of trouble, adversary, and sinners. We just got three little statements that follows this. Can you say this? You will, help me now. You will have trouble. Number two, Satan is your enemy. And number three,
sinners will sin.
Just because you become a Christian doesn't mean that you've been removed from the planet. You've got a little halo around your head where you're not going to sin. And other people are going to go, oh, there's an angel. We won't mess with her. It's not going to happen like that. Stuff is going to happen. And you're going to be disappointed with God. It happens. This is going to happen in your life. Now, like we said, this is going to happen. Now we're going to move to something else. Are y'all ready for me to get off of this? Ready for a new question? The Lord just gave me a couple of questions. Boy, this isn't rocket science. This is people. This is what happens when you deal with people. In a service already today, had one lady want to see me. Had another lady, another one. That's a joy of my life to be able to talk to people and encourage them. But when you start seeing people like this, you start to know, this happens. It happens. But here's the other question that came to me. So the first question was this. How could God love me since he let this happen to me? Here's the second question. This is very important. Listen. How could God not love me since he let this happen to Jesus for me? Did you hear me this morning? Come on, how could God not love me since he let this happen to Jesus for me? Whew, I like that. That's some good stuff right there. That'll preach right there, I'm telling you. Now here's what I mean. Here we go. Let's look at it. We're moving now. Here we go. This is not, I suppose, to be so. That first thing, when you go through problems and struggles and bad times in your life, we just suppose that God did it. Let me tell you something, friend. This isn't an I suppose it to be so anymore. This is the real deal. God did do it. God did send his son to die so you could have life. This is I know so thing. You hear me? It's something else. It's not feelings. It's not the way I feel, friend. It is fact. Let's look at a couple of scriptures on the right quick. Here they are. You know it. For God so loved the world that he what?
Gave.
He did it. For you. He loves you to pieces. On purpose. Gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Look at another verse. Look at this. John 10:17. Therefore doth my Father love me. Why? Because I lay down my life that I might not take it up again. How would you like it if your parents said that to you? Now, Johnny, I would really love you if you go die for Tommy. Your kid would go, Dad, you've been smoking something. It ain't happening. I mean, I like giving my baseball or something, but I'm not going to die for it. God, that might not make sense, but the point is this. God, Jesus said, my Father loves me because I lay down my life for the people. Can you imagine? God did let this happen. He did cause this to happen. God was all about Jesus dying for you and me. Hebrews 2. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels. He was born in Bethlehem. We know that. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should what? Taste death for every man. How could God not love me since he let Jesus do this for me? How could he not love me? He does love you, friend. Hebrews 2, for as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. God loves you today. That's why Jesus Christ died. He let this happen to Jesus. Okay? Keep moving, Roger. God, don't you say this. If you don't get anything else out of what I say today, look at this. Say this with me. God let this happen to Jesus for me on purpose. One more time. God let this happen to Jesus for me on purpose. Can you believe that? We put all these bad things that happen in our life. Mistakes of people, mistakes we've made. People turning their back on us. Evil, cruel people that do these terrible things. We say, God, you did that. When the fact of the matter is, God let this happen to Jesus for me on purpose. He didn't let that other stuff happen to you, friend. Are you getting my drift this morning, son? He let this happen. And if Satan can get you thinking, he let this happen, then you're not going to see what? This happened. And you're going to lose in life and eternity. Let's keep moving. A couple other thoughts today. Isaiah 53. God let this happen to Jesus for me on purpose. He's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. We hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he's borne our griefs. He's carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. All we, look at this, like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And what does this say? And the Lord hath laid on him what? The iniquity of us all. God did this on purpose, friend, for you, because he loves you. He was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He's brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? He was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. The strangest verse in the Bible, one of them. Look at it. Yet it pleased the Lord to what? To bruise him. You've been bruising me, Lord! No, son. I bruised Jesus. I bruised Jesus for you. I love you. Why'd you let this happen? This happened, son. But I did this so you can live forever. I love you. Are you hearing him talk to you today? Listen to me. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. A couple of the scriptures. Jesus talking about his life. No man takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. This commandment, where did he get it? Have I received of my who? Crazy message today. How could God let this happen to me if he loved me? Here's the bigger question. How could God not love me since he let this happen to Jesus for me? Boy, I hope you're getting it today. It's not very deep water we're treading in here, buddy. It's plain English today. Amen? I want you to know that as you go through this passionately, Jesus loves me. God loves me on purpose. He loved me. Wow. Phenomenal. It was God's will for Jesus Christ, his son, to die for me. Please say that with me. It was God's will for Jesus Christ, his son, to die for me. That was the will of God, for Jesus Christ, his son, to die for a dirty old dog like me. Can you imagine such a thing? Wow, no wonder this time of year we just start celebrating, don't we? Man, we celebrate all the time around here. I'm excited every Lord's Day about serving the Lord. I am so thrilled, so excited that you folks would come in and that new folks would come in and we can share this old story with me, friend. It's a life-changing experience that happened to me. How about some of you all? You amen on that now? Lord, to change your life. It's a real thing, ain't it? This ain't playing church, friend. This is living for God, loving Him. Phenomenal. It was God's will for Jesus to die for me. And then three little things real quick, real simple things. You might want to write them down. Maybe it'll help somebody. I don't know. Number one, plain English, Southern style. Here it is. Number one, why was it God's will? Because God is holy and we ain't. That's why Jesus died. Because God is holy and we ain't. Leviticus says, I, Lord your God, you sanctify yourselves. You should be holy, for I am holy. There's no problem with that. God should be holy as I am holy, but guess what? You can't be on your own. Don't you hate it when somebody tells you to do something, you can't do it? It's like, it ain't within your power. That's why Jesus died, because God is holy, and you ain't, and I ain't. Let's look at the next one. Why was it God's will? Because we're sinners, and he ain't. See, holy and sinners just ain't getting together, friend. It just don't work. And that's why Jesus came. Amen? To reconcile us to God. The Bible says there's none righteous. There's none that understands. They're all going out of the way. They together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Why is it God's will? Because he's holy, we ain't. Because we're sinners, he ain't. And number three, because God loves us, period. That's why it was God's will. Because God loves us, period. Flat out. Look at these scriptures. 1 John 4, and this was manifested the love of God toward us because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Here it is love. Not that we love God. Just a news flash here. God isn't here to be our bellboy. You hear me? And our waiter, wait on me hand and foot. I can't believe I'm uncomfortable. It's going to happen. Please. He loved us first. Not you loving him or me loving him first. But he loved us. He sent his son to be, fancy word, propitiation for our sins. Sacrifice. To take our place on the cross. That's why he died. Here's a great verse. Say this with me. We love him because he first loved us. Well, we're pretty well done here, right? What else we got, Robert? That's why God let this happen to Jesus. It was his will. He died for you and me on purpose. He was behind it all. Can you imagine? God was behind it all the whole time, letting Jesus die for you. What did Jesus say on the cross? My God! My God! Finish it with me. Why hast thou forsaken me? Well, put that in your pipe and smoke it right there. That's some serious stuff right there. I'm telling you, God loved me. How could God not love me? and let this happen for little old puny old me. What a great God you serve. I think we're done this morning. I figured I could try to sing a song and maybe show forth the passion that Jesus Christ has for you and love for you a little better than I can preach it. Let's try. Walking on the road to Jerusalem, the time had come to sacrifice again. My two small sons, they walk beside me on the road. The reason that they came was to watch the Lamb. Why there's so much that we don't understand. So I told them of Moses and Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. There will be so many in Jerusalem today. We must be sure the Lamb doesn't run away. So I told them of Moses, Father Abraham. Then I said, dear children, watch the Lamb. When we reached the city, I knew something must be wrong. There were no joyful worshipers, no joyful worship songs. I stood there with my children in the midst of angry men. I heard the crowd cry out, Sonny!
From the Lord.
I placed it on my shoulder and started down the street. The blood that he was shedding was running down my cheek. They led us to Golgotha. They drove nails deep in his feet and hands. And yet upon the cross, I heard him pray, "Father, forgive them. Oh, never have I seen such love in any other eyes. Into thy hands I commit my spirit." He prayed, and then he died. I stood for what seemed like years. I lost all sense of time. Then I felt two tiny hands holding tight to mine. My children stood there weeping, and I heard the oldest say, "Father, please forgive us. The lamb ran away. Daddy, Daddy, what did we see here? There's so much that we don't understand." So I took them in my arms, and we turned and faced the cross. And I said, "Dear children, watch the Lamb." If you could remain quiet, please. Let's stand together. And quiet. Thank you so much. Thank you for listening today, being here today. Boy. Save now. Can you say that with me? Save now. Isn't it great? After all these years later, thousands of years later, the Lord's still in the saving business. Amen? Hey, we need to keep saying that. Lord, save. Save now. God bless you today. Ask the Lord to come in here and work.